You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
So I had this thought. I woke up in the morning with this thought that we should never say we can't. You know, when you work with people most of your life and you're trying to change them, you hear that repeatedly from people. Well, I've tried, Pastor, I just can't. I've tried to lose this habit or that habit. But the truth of the matter is, if you can just do this, don't say you can't. You might think it, you might have people tell you, but don't say it. Because once you say it, it deposits into your spirit. It reminds me of a verse of what Jesus said, and you'll find this in Mark 9:23, where he was working with someone who hadn't been successfully healed by his disciples. And it's like in a church, many people that you pray for, not all of them get healed. And Jesus was dealing with that. And it was a man that had a child that was demon-possessed, and the child, or the demon would make the child fall into the fire, fall into the water. You can imagine living with that. Well, the disciples were unable to do it. So the man came to Jesus and said, if you're able to help us, help us. And then Jesus said these famous words, if you can believe, all things are possible for the one who believes. Now, it's a little vague unless you have a little bit of background in the Greek language, because in the text when it says, if you believe, all things are possible to the one who believes, it's called in the Greek a first-class sentence, and what that simply means is this. When if is in there, it's not stating that you can't do it. It's stating that you can do it. So what Jesus literally is saying to the guy, if you can believe, and you can, everything is possible in your life. And that's something I want you to see tonight, that maybe you're in that boat and you think, well, I don't know if I can even believe for this. If you're born again, if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you've been given the measure of the God kind of faith. And that faith can believe. And that's what Jesus is telling this man, that he can believe. Even though he was wondering he could, Jesus said, no, you can. If you want to, you can believe, and everything will be possible to you in your life. I think some of the reason why we have problems that we do when it comes to believing is we try. We try over and over again to believe for something, and we fail at it. And then we start thinking, I can't. But remember this, the only time that you fail is when you try to believe through the flesh rather than through your faith. The reality is that when you believe through your faith, you will never fail if you don't doubt with your faith. You'll never fail. It's only when we trying to do it with our flesh that many times we fail and then think that we can't. So say it with me. I will never say I can't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, praise God. Amen. With that in mind, I want you to look with me again in Mark chapter 11. And I'm going to be reading a very familiar text. I'm going to be breaking it out a little bit more tonight. And so this is really good for healing and whatever you're believing for. But it says in verse 22, so Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For surely I say unto you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you that whatever things you ask when you pray, I believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, this translation, it says, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, keep literally having faith in God. That's what the translation I just read. But there's a dispute over the word in. It actually should be translated of. And the reason why I say that is I'm not trying to impress you, but the Greek word for God is theos. And whenever there's an ending of in or of, the ending changes on it. And here, it literally is theou, which means of God. So he's literally saying, I want you to keep having the faith of God. Now, that changes it a little bit. Now, it really, it's not anything to split over because people say, well, no, faith is always having faith in God. Well, it actually is the same thing to have faith in the faith that God gave you. It's actually the same thing, but the emphasis is different. When you're talking about having faith in God, you're saying, all right, like whatever you say, I'm going to believe it. But when you talk about having the faith of God, you're talking about having faith in the faith that God gave you. In other words, I have faith in the ability of the faith that God gives me. I believe that that faith can move a mountain. I believe that faith can receive healing. I believe that faith can prosper. I believe that faith can put me over the top. Oh, glory to God. When you see this, you realize why he taught it in the context that he taught it in. Galatians, it says that I no longer live, but I live by the faith of Christ. There the emphasis isn't in God, but it is of the faith that God gave you. And tonight I want to tell all of you this important truth, that if you have a measure of faith, your faith can receive healing. Your faith can receive provision. Your faith can. That's the potential of it. It has the potential. I look at it kind of like this. Let's say I'm going to do something here at the church and I need some help. So I go up to you and I say, listen, I'm going to give you my credit card. And I want you to go out and I want you to purchase these things. Now, you're going to have faith in me that the credit card that I gave you is good. Say amen. But you're also going to have the faith of that credit card when you go to whatever store it is to pick up the things that you need. And I think that's the emphasis that Jesus is telling his disciples. I want you to see the potential that your faith has, that you can say unto this mountain, be plucked up and cast into the sea, and if you doubt not in your heart, but believes the words that you say, you can have whatever you say. Now, what's good about the text is this. He says, whosoever. And when you say whosoever, that takes it out of just the disciples. It puts it out to everyone who would believe. Jesus said this, or in the book of Acts, it says this, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means anyone can get saved. Amen? So when he says whosoever, he's talking about us in Kent. He's talking about us from Renton. He's talking about us from Federal Way. Come on. He's talking about us from Auburn. He's talking about us. That's you. So the whosoevers are here tonight. And what I love about this, because he says, okay, I want you to keep having faith in the potential of your faith. I want you to keep believing that your faith can do these things. I gave you the faith when you followed me, and that faith is able to heal. It's able to cast out devils. It's able to prosper you. It's able to take you over the top. It's able to restore your marriage. It's able to do all that stuff if you would simply believe that the faith I gave you can do it. Come on, give God praise. That's good preaching. Now, in the text, he says this, whosoever say unto this mountain, be cast to the sea, if he doubts not his heart, but believe the words that he says, he will have whatever he says. Here's the part I want you to see. The emphasis on speaking is three times more than the emphasis on believing. He mentions believing once, but he mentions speaking three times. You have to say it a lot more than it takes to believe it. And I think that's one of the reasons why many times we believe we receive, but we lose it later because we simply don't say it enough to get it down into our hearts and to keep it there until your miracle literally arise. Because he said, if you believe you receive what you ask for, you will have it. A habit part is what we want, but the believe you receive part is the hard part. You got to believe you got it while you're waiting. You got to believe you got it while the pain is there. You got to believe you got it when the bills are not paid. You believe you got it when the marriage isn't getting any better. You got to believe you got it when you don't feel like you got it. You got to believe you got it whenever you got it. You can't, and don't say, I can't believe. Don't say, I can't lose that weight. Don't say, I can't overcome that problem. Don't say, I can't get past this financial problem in my life. Don't say it, because when you say it, it goes down into your heart. You may think it 1,000 times. You may feel it 1,000 times, but don't say it. Just say, I've received from the Lord, and I'm speaking to the mountain, and I'm, whoo, man. That's where healing comes to pass in your life, and this is a very beautiful thing. And so tonight, I know you're struggling with things. We all are. But my question is, have you found the word on it? And secondly, have you received it? And thirdly, have you refused to say, I can't? Or have you been saying that, I don't think I can make it? I don't think if God doesn't do anything, I'm going to make it. Because what the can'ts in your life will stop your faith. You got to say, well, like Paul, I can do all things through Christ strengthens me. Now, here's an aspect here that a little heavy, but I want you to get it. Faith is about what you say and what you do. Say it with me. Faith is about what I say and what I do. If you're saying from what you believe, and you're doing from what you believe, your faith has been activated. Amen? But it's more than that. It's what you permit as well. In other words, when you're operating in faith, it isn't just what you say and what you do. It's also what you permit in your life to come in and give you a bad time or whatever in your life. And I'm going to give you a story, and you can write this down. This is over in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 12 through 13. It's a story of the high priest by the name of Eli. How many remember who Eli was? Eli was the high priest that raised Samuel, the boy. Remember Samuel miraculously, his mom's prayers was answered on this condition: if you give me a baby, I'm going to dedicate him to the temple and he'll live there and serve. And she went ahead and did it. If you remember the story, Eli is in obviously the same room with this young boy that was given to the temple. And he hears this voice speak to him. He runs into Eli and says, did you want me for anything? And he said, no. And after a few times, Eli realized the Lord was speaking to him. And then Samuel becomes his super duper prophet. Not one prophecy he spoke, every word came to pass. Not one time did he miss it. So he grows up, and Eli has two sons. But the problem with Eli is these sons are wayward, but they're working in the temple. And they're living ungodly lives. They're fornicating with the women in the temple. And he won't do anything about it. Ever know a parent like that? Allowing their kids to take drugs in the house or fornicate in their bedroom or whatever it may be. It's similar to what happened with Eli. He was permitting something that he had authority over. But, you know, like most parents, I love my kids so much, I'm going to love them, but I want to drive them off. So whatever, that's his thinking, and that's what cost him his future. Because he didn't use his authority to get rid of what he had authority over. You can permit things in your life that will destroy your faith. destroy your future. And in the story, Samuel, who is raised up, he prophesies to him and says that God is going to judge you for what you've done. Now understand, he raised this young boy that becomes a man. But he's just telling what the Lord said, and it says in there, because you would not restrain your sons. So to make the long story short, the sons are killed in battle, and Eli is on a chair leaning back and falls over and breaks his neck. And it all could have been avoided if he would have used his faith in that, what I call kind of a negative faith. Jesus cursing a fig tree is kind of a negative example of faith. Isn't that right? But sometimes you have to do that to remove the mountains in your life. I've had people try to destroy the church, and I dealt with it in faith. And I don't want to sit there and talk about what happened to them, but nothing pleasant happened to them. There's a point in your faith where you just say, I'm not tolerating this anymore in my family. I'm not tolerating this anymore in my life. And so when you talk about mountain moving faith, it's not always a positive thing. And tonight, wherever you're at, I want you to understand this. I want you to receive from God what He's promised. And in that receiving, don't ever say you can't believe. Don't ever say you can't achieve it. Don't ever say that you can't reach a higher mountain. Don't ever say that you can't accomplish the dream and the vision that God has called you to. And don't say my faith is too weak. Don't ever say that, because the faith you have can move a mountain. I think we should give God praise right now. It'd be a good time to do that. Thank Him for His mercy and grace in your life. And if you've got some wayward kids, I'm not trying to make you feel condemned. I'm just simply saying you have to be bold with your faith and say, I'm not going to tolerate this. Amen? I have a friend that has a yacht, and he practices this. He doesn't let people come on the yacht that are sleeping together, that are not married. If you want to go on the boat with him, better get married. That's what I'm talking about. It opens doors up in your life when you look the other way and think, because you love them, it's okay. It's not okay. All you do is give the devil place in your home. We got to take responsibility for our kids, take responsibility for our wife, take responsibility. Come on. You need to take responsibility on the job that you have. You got to take responsibility when God gives you something and use your faith, not only to remove those mountains, but to remove those mountains that are bringing in evil in your life. And never call evil good. I will bless every sinner, but I will not bless immorality. I will not bless the homosexual's action. I'll bless the person, but I'm not going to bless the action, because it is evil. And I think that if you really want faith to be effective, you have to see it from that spectrum, that it's either good or bad, and you can still bless people that are doing wrong things, but you can't put a blessing on something, the kind of behavior that is wrong, terrible. Isn't it a good message? Come on, everybody, it's good stuff. Now, I want to say this at this point. The greatest enemy you're ever going to have with your faith is fear. Say it with me. The greatest enemy I'll ever face is fear. It's really not cancer. It's really not a lack of money or bankruptcy or the loss of a loved one. It's really not that. It's the fear of it all. That's where Satan gets a stronghold in you. And I'm going to show you in the Word of God how you can overcome every fear that says, I don't know if I'm going to get healed. Every fear that says, I don't know if we'll ever get the bills paid. Every fear that says, I don't know if this marriage is going to work out. I'm going to show you how to overcome it. Amen? Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. And while they're putting that up on the screen, I want to give you a background in this. This will really help you. This is a letter Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was his predecessor in many respects. Paul had a traveling ministry. Timothy was a pastor of the church. So Paul would come and start churches and then put Timothy in charge of it and so forth. But this was a very difficult time they were going through. If you remember a little bit about history, Nero was absolutely an insane individual. He was mad, just absolutely mad. And he had this ambition to rebuild Rome. But when he went and tried to get people in Rome, let's tear down your house, then nobody wanted to do it. So he came up with a scheme, and the scheme was this. I will burn Rome down and blame it on the Christians, because the Christians are the ones that preach hellfire and brimstone. So I'll blame it on them. So he had done that, and all of Rome was hostile, at least the ones that weren't saved, towards Christians. That's where you hear them about bringing into the arenas and the lions eating them and burning them as torches. This is during that time period. This is who Paul's dealing with. This is the fear that Timothy was facing. And what's great about the story is that Timothy actually was afraid to be associated with Paul, because anyone that was associated with Paul, especially apostle of the faith, there would be resistance. There'd be hostility because of Rome being built. Those Christians did it. That kind of thing. So look at the verse now with that in mind. He said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." And keep this in mind. Paul is in chains waiting to be executed when he wrote this. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Oh, this is just powerful. Notice what Paul does is he reminds him of what he has because he's a believer. This drives out fear. He says, Timothy, don't remember this. God didn't give you fear, a spirit of fear, but of power, dunamis. But remember, dunamis is more than just something that we use as a word for dynamite. It was a very powerful word of power. It was used for supernatural power. It was used for the armies of Rome. He's saying you have that kind of power inside of you. I know you're afraid, but you got that kind of power inside of you. And then he says to him this, he says, God didn't give you spirit of it, but you have power and love. Say love. Now, this isn't typical love. This is agape love. This is the one where the Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's an unconditional love. I'm going to love you before you ever repent. It's an unconditional love. And Paul is telling Timothy, listen, you have power. Supernatural power, power greater than the armies of Rome inside of you, and you have agape love. See, there's three kinds of love in Greek. Agape, which is unconditional, and then there's phileo, which is friendship love, and then eros, which is physical or sexual love, making love. You follow what I'm saying? But for a Christian, our foundation is agape. How many of you ever had a friend that betrayed you? How many had someone that, you know, was good to you? See, a friend, friends are like this. Friends do things for you and you do things for them. That's what friends do. That's phileo. You scratch my back, I'll show you, help each other out. But how many know that even a good friend has their down times? Say things, do things that may hurt you. And this is what Paul or Timothy was facing. He had leaders in the church betray him. He had people in the church betray him. He had people that were friends who had left him and offended him and had taken advantage of him but didn't want to be associated with him because they were afraid of what would happen with the Romans. So he was facing that, and so he had this spirit of fear. I don't know if I should associate that much with Paul. And this fear is what brought the offense in Timothy's life where he was offended. So when Paul tells him, agape love God gave you, Once you see that, Romans 5:5 says that God has poured his love into our heart. That's agape love. Do you know what that means? It's like what Jesus says. You build your house on a rock, and when the rains fall and the wind blows, that house won't be shaken because you're loving them based on that agape love. And everything else is built on top of it. Oh, glory to God. You can see how it drives out the fear of divorce. Can you see that? But if you're just married because of phileo love and your husband hurts you or does something terrible, then fear will come in. I don't think we're going to make it. This is what Paul was doing, and he's bringing back something to Timothy that Timothy had and we have if you're born again. You got power, greater than the power in this earth. You have love that can't be shaken by offense, can't be shaken by this person or this social issue. It can't be shaken. It's unconditional love. He's trying to get rid of the fear in his life by reminding him of what he has. See, if we could just remember what we have, we would stop saying, I can't let it go. I can't forgive them. I can't see them again. I can't be civil to them again. I can't change the way I feel. See? It's because of that fear that has gripped you. But if you believed what you received when you got saved, you received unconditional love. I would say in my marriage, my wife is probably on top of it at least 98% of the time. But what about the times she's not? Or what about the times I'm not? Agape love keeps you steady. Amen? It's an unconditional love. It's the kind of love you have for your kids. They're acting like idiots, but you're still going to love them. Okay, now watch this. A sound mind is when your perceptions are good perceptions and you don't come to a conclusion that is out of line. You ever have your senses go crazy because of a situation? A sound mind is when you hesitate and all of a sudden you get yourself back into the right perspective and you make a good decision during hard times. Fear will always cause you to make a decision that's wrong. You won't have a decision that's good. But God didn't give you that. He gave you a sound mind. In other words, even if you went crazy and go, I'm going crazy, I'm losing my mind, I don't know if I can handle this, God tells us that he gave us a sound mind and watch this, the mind of Christ. If you wait on the Lord, it will pop up and you will make the right decision. Now, before I became a Christian, if somebody gave me a bad time or whatever, I would just strike out. Hit him in the face. Kick him in the whatever. But after I got saved, I don't do that anymore. I want to, but I don't do it because I have a sound mind. I wait and go, all right, think before you act. What has that guy been going through? Amen? Paul's reminding us what everyone has. Yet you got all kinds of Christians on medication because of their emotions, because of their mental depression, whatever. And I'm not telling you to go off your medicine. I'm just simply saying that God has given you the mind of Christ. You forgot, if you just would have remembered, wait a minute, I got agape love inside of me. Wait a minute, I got the power of God inside of me. Wait a minute, I've received the mind of Christ. I don't have to be overwhelmed by this. I can have peace in the midst of the storm. No matter what's going through, I can rest in God and just fall asleep and have a great, come on, say amen and praise God. That's what he's trying to get across to him. in this thing. Now, here's what happens. The more you respond to fear, the stronger fear becomes. Just like the more you respond to faith, the stronger faith comes. And so what happens is we start responding to what we're afraid of, and we withdraw. And the more we withdraw, even though we think to avoid it, we're getting rid of the fear. We're actually increasing it. And that's why you can have people that have been offended years later, and they have a greater fear now than they had before the incident happened. Because they kept drawing away, they kept drawing away, they kept drawing away, kept drawing away, and the fear gets stronger and stronger and stronger. It's responsive, but when you respond to word by what you say and what you do, and you respond to what you say and what you do, your faith gets stronger and stronger, stronger and stronger and stronger. Oh, glory to God. See how that works? Yeah, it's a process. And that's what he's telling Timothy to go back to, is that. Now look at this, if you would. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want you to look at this verse. It says, "Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Now what I want you to see is this. He says, hold on to sound words. Sound words. Can I tell you that young people don't hold on to sound words? Old people don't hold on to sound words. And they create their own problems. Young people say things like, "I never have an opportunity. It's not fair what's happening to me." And it keeps them locked in because they're not sound words. And old people say this, "The older I get, everything breaks. I'm getting weaker, I'm getting more feeble." Who told you? It wasn't God, it was the devil. God wants you to finish strong. God wants you to be like Moses. He got to take him up to the mountain and bury him because he won't die. He can still see well. Come on, everybody. Don't say you're getting weaker. Don't say that. Say you're getting stronger. Don't say that you got nothing to offer. If you've been around a long time, you're smarter now than you were in the beginning. You went through things that other people, I got wisdom that young people don't have any idea because I've been through it. I've been through the fire, and you're the same way. You become more valuable the longer you've been around. Oh, glory. Yeah. So the sound words are words like that. Don't let the devil trick you out of it. You know, they have a statistic. They say that most people who retire die after 7 years. Now, you know why? Because of a lack of sound words. They plan on, it's almost a slow death. So if you're retired, don't you dare let that come out of your mouth. Don't say, "I can't do anything anymore." Don't say, "I can't overcome anymore." Don't say, "I can't. I can do whatever God's called me to do. I can make it wiggle like it used to wiggle." Come on, say amen. I know, this is a little wild here tonight, praise God. But I want you to see the truth. Now take a look at this. Galatians 5, verse 16, look at this. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now notice he says that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He didn't say if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to walk in the flesh and then back. No, he says if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then he says this, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Now let me give you an example of what he's talking about here. I heard this story, and it's true. It was an American Indian who had become a Christian. And he was talking to a younger man about his Christian faith. And he says, "You know, it feels like I've got two dogs inside of me. One's a good dog, and he always leads to benefits. But the other dogs, the bad dogs, always fighting with the good dog." And the young man says, "Well, who wins?" He says, "The one that I feed." If you're feeding the bad dog's going to win. But if you're feeding the good dog's going to win. If you feed on the word's going to win. If you feed on philosophy, philosophy's going to win. If you feed on what the word of God says, you will win every time. But if you feed on what understanding or natural understanding would say or what people say, you may fail. But when you feed on the word of God, you will win in your life. So there's a process. Now, I understand that when I preach this, people have this thing about fear where they think that to avoid it, they're not fearful, and that's not true. Whatever time, anytime you respond because of your fear to that, even if it's avoiding it, it creates greater fear, insecurity in your life. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't know about taking on mountains and all that. I'd rather avoid it, and you'll be full of insecurity and fear in your life. Because every time, God, you were made to win. You were born to reign. You were born to succeed. You were born for God to reign in your life. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. If you don't take on those mountains, you'll be in a worse shape than you would be if you took on the mountain. But when you take on the mountain, praise God, you got his power, you got his love, you got God helping you with it. But if you pull back from that, man, you're gonna get, Satan's gonna roll over you, run over you, step on you, and you'll be in worse state than you would if you just decided, I'm gonna take on the mountain. Hallelujah. Take on the mountain, and you'll see the blessing that God has for you. So in closing, go ahead and stand up. Don't say, I can't believe. Pastor, I can't believe. How can I believe in something I cannot see? Pastor, you're telling me that I should never say I can't, but I can't believe for what you're talking about. I can't believe for it because I can't see it. I can't feel it. I can't touch it. How do you believe in something you can't see? Listen, every one of you believe in things you can't see. You believe you have brains. And when was the last time you saw them? I love the verse that says this, make your path straight. Well, I can't. I've tried, Pastor, and every time I try, my friends come over and I go down this road or I try to do this and this ends up happening. I just can't seem to do it. Now, wait. First of all, I said, never say can't. Second of all, what does the word say? The word says that when you bridle your tongue, it'll control your body like a bridle on a horse controls a horse's body. That means your emotions can be controlled by your words. And then he says, also, you will be like a rudder. Your tongue will affect your life like a rudder on a ship. So if my words control the course of my life and can control the emotions in my body, then there isn't a storm that I'm going through that I can't get through and succeed. And here's the thing, it doesn't matter where you're at in the storm. You can be in the worst place there is in the storm with huge waves coming over your ship. But if you decide right then, I can do it, Lord. I'm going to declare what your word says in this situation. You'll find peace in the midst of that storm. And it doesn't matter where you're at in the storm. And the course will be set by what you say, which means when the storm is over, you're going to be closer to your promised land, blessings, closer to your breakthrough, closer to your healing, closer to your overcoming power. Man, but you got to say, I can. Say it with me tonight, I can. Do everything that God has called me to. I can overcome every mountain, Lord. I can overcome every disease. I can overcome every demon, every fallen spirit. Because greater is he that's in me. He that is in the world. Give God praise, everybody, right now. Woo!
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River app, and our website at theriver.church. We're the River, and we're doing life together.